This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala mab'uthi rahmatil alameen Sayyidina Muhammadin Abdullah al-Hashimi al-Qurashi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man ihtada bihadihi واستنى بسنته وانتهج نهجه إلى يوم الدين تركنا النحجة البيضاء ليلها كنهارها لا يزيغ عنها إلا هالك ثم أما بعد. So we are reading from the sessions we have entitled The Journey's Destination, The Path of the Arifin, The Path of the Knowers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have reiterated the concept that the path of Ma'rifah is the path of the prophets, it's the path of the messengers, and it's the path of the those who have been bestowed with such blessings by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And ultimately, it is the path of the Ubbad and also the path of the Zuhad, the path of the worshipful servants, and also the path of those who renounce all except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a means of salvation and as their destination of aspiration and of hopes and of dreams and so forth. So we're reading from the second set of chapters that we said deal with spiritual refinement and discipline. And this is important because this gives us an insight into knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not merely from a intellectual acknowledgement, but also from a path of dhulq and of a path of shuhud, as we've said. So these words that imply sense perception, so dhulq means taste in Arabic, and shuhud means to witness with the eyes, are metaphors for the dhulq and the shuhud, for the tasting and the witnessing of the heart. So it is another way of knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's a more immediate and necessary way, and it's a way also of finding a way to invoke the divine in all of our affairs, in every breath that we're taking, in every step we're taking, in our moments of silence, in our moments of movement, and also our sort of emotional and psychological makeup will be infused with this shuhud, this divine witnessing and remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what some of them describe as the hudur or the hadra, right? Al-hadra al-ilahiyya. In other words, to realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala huwa hadir ma'ak. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always ever present with you, and that's why we combat ghafla, which is to lose sight of that, with something called dhikr, which is to remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always with you. And I read in another book, Al-Tilimsani, in his commentary on Manazil al-Sa'ireen, which hopefully is another book that we'll get to do. He's defined al-riyada, or spiritual refinement, as tamreen al-nafs ala qubool al-sidq. Tamreen al-nafs ala qubool al-sidq. It is to discipline the soul so that it is ready to accept the truth, right? And that means ready to accept the truth of the reality of the universe and also the truth of our shortcomings, and not to be impugned or colored by our ego, by our perception of self, and that usually we tend to perceive ourselves as something much more elegant and greater than we actually are, and on a refusal to see our own shortcomings. So all of this then is a way by which we can get to that, inshallah. So we left off talking about this concept of istidraj, and I'm going to reiterate these Arabic words as we go throughout, and I think it's important. Maybe someone who's taking notes can keep kind of a running glossary of the terms, because these terms will come up a lot. So things like we said riyada, you know, spiritual discipline, we've said ma'rifa, we've said nafs or ego, we've said here istidraj, and he's going to define what that means. So all of this is still in a section that's looking at the dunya as a, or a mazra', as a place where we can, a proving ground, which we will later harvest in the akhirah. So he says, rahimahullah, وَنَفَعَنُوا بِهُمْ فِي الدَّارَيْنِ أَمِينُ وَرَضِيَ عَنَّا وَعَنْكُمْ. He says, وَلَا تَكُنْ كَقَوْمٍ بَسَطَ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ أَيَادِيَهُ فَهُمْ عَاكِفُونَ عَلَى مَعَصِيهِ وَلَا هَذَا السِّنْفَ الْإِشَارَةُ بِقَوْلِ تَعَالَى سَنَسْتَدْرِجُهُمْ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. وَالْإِسْتِدْرَاجُ مَعْنَاهُ فِي اللُّغَةِ نَأْخُذُهُمْ قَلِيلًا قَلِيلًا وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. وفي التفسير كلما جددوا خطيئة جددنا لهم نعمة وأنسيناهم الاستغفار. فافهم ما أومأنا به إليك واشكر ما من الله به عليك. So he said, do not be like the people. بسط الله لهم أيديه. Allah literally has spread his blessings for them and has extended it to them. But nevertheless, عَكِفُونَ عَلَى الْمَعَاصِي. But nevertheless, they continue to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and without regard for thanking and showing gratitude for the blessings that they have. And this is mentioned in the verse of the Quran, Surah Al-Shu'ara, Ayah 136, سَنَسْتَدْرِجُهُمْ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. So we will give them this istidraj from that which do they not know, or from where they do not know. And then he defines istidraj. Istidraj ma'anahu fi al-lugha, another linguistically it means na'khudhum qalilan qalilan wa hum la yash'urun. So it's kind of to give them pause little by little, and they are lulled into thinking that they are in some sort of realm of bliss and of ease and that everything is fine and God is pleased with them and so forth, because they look at the blessings around them. But they fail to look to themselves, they fail to look to their souls, they fail to look to their disposition with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of how they are following His commands or not, or obeying or taking to heed His prohibitions or not. وَفِي التَّفْسِيرِ, and then in the tafsir, in understanding this particular verse, كُلَّمَا جَدَّدُوا خَطِيئَةً جَدَّدْنَا لَهُمْ نِعْمَةً وَأَنْسَيْنَاهُمْ الْإِسْتِغْفَارِ. So every time that they commit a new sin, جَدَّدُوا خَطِيئَةً جَدَّدْنَا لَهُمْ نِعْمَةً. So they commit a sin, but nevertheless they get a ni'mah, they get a blessing. They have health, they have wealth, they have ease, they have facilitation, all these things. وَأَنْسَيْنَاهُمْ الْإِسْتِغْفَارِ. And then they forget al-istighfar. They forget to go take it back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by seeking ghufran, by seeking Allah's forgiveness. فَفْهَمْ مَا أَوْمَأْنَا بِهِ إِلَيْكَ. So I try to understand what we have indicated by a subtle indication here. وَاشْكُرْ مَا مَنَّ اللَّهُ بِهِ عَلَيْكَ. And be thankful and grateful. When فُتِحَ لَكَ بَابُ خَيْرٍ فَاغْتَنِمْهُ وَإِنْ نُهِيتَ عَنْ شَيْءٍ فَاجْتَنِبْهُ وَلَا تَكُنْ كَقَوْمٍ ذُكِّرُوا فَأَبَوْا وَأُرْشِدُوا فَنَأَوْا وَإِلَيْهِمِ الْإِشَارَةُ بِقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ ذُكِّرَ بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِ فَأَعْرَضَ عَنْهَا وَنَسِيَ مَا قَدَّمَتْ يَدَاهُ. So it's very nice the way that he does it and brings the verses and kind of ties it into the concepts that he's trying to explain to us. So he says, if he opens a door of good to you, بَابُ خَيْرٍ فَاغْتَنِمْهُ, go through the door, take the good. It's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِنْ نُهِيتَ عَنْ شَيْءٍ فَاجْتَنِبْهُ. And if he commands you or prohibits for you from something, then avoid it. So in other words, don't draw the connection between, well, if Allah really was displeased with me, then He wouldn't have given me that promotion at work, and I wouldn't have been in all of these blessings and so forth. Just today I saw an article, I think the person might be Muslim, so I don't want to say what country they're from or anything like that, but they are the types of people who are involved in these credit phone schemes, you know, or email schemes. You get an email and they said, this person has left you a huge inheritance and I need your bank details and I can't do it myself, and so if you give me your bank details, and, you know, this type of scam. So this person, a few of them were apprehended in a particular country, and they had something like $40 million in cash and Lamborghinis and all sorts of things. And they actually were caught. The how they were able to kind of build a case against them was by their own Instagram and their own Snapchat. They kind of bragged. They did use code words for the things they used to do, but the police, the FBI in this country, in the United States, were able to extradite them from this foreign country. And they have a whole kind of litany of charges against them. But what I looked at the Instagram of one of them, and he said something like, look at all, he's standing in front of two Rolls Royces, and he's saying, look at all that I've been given, and don't let anyone tell you that they can put you down, and if you're going to get what you're going to get. And this is a sign, something to the sign effects of, this is, he also kind of acknowledged God in the whole thing, and this is something that is given to me by God, and how could I ever be thankful for him, and I have all of this bliss, and this is a sign that God's in my life, and so forth. But the problem with that is, yeah, but you're disobeying Allah. Just because you have two or three Rolls Royces and you're living this luxurious lifestyle, but you built it upon the backs of people you swindled, right? And people that you cheated, and people that may have lost a lot of money to you, and their lives are ruined, so you can live this sort of luxurious lifestyle in one of the luxury hotspot cities of the world. So don't take that as a sign. Well, if I was really in a bad space, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have punished me in this way, this way. No, you might be from amongst this group, al-Qawm al-Mus, who are in istidraj, right? Who are, no matter what they do a khati'ah, they do a mistake, and Allah, you get the lahu min ni'mah, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani hakimun fi af'alihi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is wise in the ways that He does things. Why does He do that with some people and not with others? Allahu a'lam. Hunak hikmah. There's a wisdom behind that. So even the salihin, even the al-abrar wal-arifin, when they find that they have all these blessings and ni'am, it does make them, they're thankful and they're grateful, but they also can be somewhat cautious as well, right? They don't take it as a sign, oh, Allah is pleased with me, so that means I can have this istirsal, right? I can kind of let go of some of the adab. That's why you find in some of the books like Al-Hikam and other books, they say that it's easier to maintain your adab with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you're in a state of constriction, right? When you feel like the world is coming down upon you and you don't have all these material blessings, your adab with Allah might be easier to maintain in that versus you have all of these nice things and things are coming easy and not a lot of effort from you, and then it's easy to kind of be in the celebratory mood and hence forget who got you there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you commit mistakes and then you make sins. So there's also a qawl ma'thur on Sayyidina Umar that he said something like, ubtilina fasabarna wa un'im alayna falam nashkur. We were given tests and trials, and what could we do except to be patient and forbearing? But when you're given the an'am and the blessings and ease, lam nashkur, we were not very thankful, very grateful. And the Quran talks about these people, the ones who, if they're in a state of ibtila, fadhu du'a'in 'arid, right? If they're in a state of ibtila, then they have this wide du'a and they plead with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they renew their commitment to God and they start to do their five prayers if they weren't doing it before, and they put on the Quran, used to be Quran cassette, not anymore, but like the Quran on the device, and and because they feel like they have nowhere to turn except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But even when you had everything, or you thought you had everything, there still was nowhere to turn except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You still have to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's why even the ulama of Tazkiya, they talk about who's better, al-ghani al-shakir am al-faqir al-sabir. Who's in a better maqam, a better place? The wealthy one who is grateful for the wealth or the blessings that they have, or the faqir as-sabir, or the one who is faqir, right? The one who maybe not have material means and wealth, but is sabir, is patient with it. And even if you go even outside of those two categories, well, one could be still ghani and faqir, في آن واحد وشاكرا وصابر في آن واحد. You can be both, you can be all four of those things. You can be patient even with your ghina, right, with your material means, and you could be thankful and grateful for your faqr. You could be thankful and grateful for, you know, the space that Allah has put you in. And those are not mutually exclusive. So the main idea then is whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throws your way, whatever circumstance that you're given, is to have the proper comportment and adab, proper etiquette, the spiritual etiquette as it were, when it comes your way. So having and not having, in terms of material things, is not an indicator that you have the spiritual etiquette or not. It's how do you contend with it? How do you show your gratitude by avoiding that which is to be avoided and to comply with that which should be complied with? Allahu a'lam. So back to the text. When futiha laka babu khayrin fa'ghtanimhu, if a door of good is open, then go through it, take it. When nahita an shay'in fajtanibhu, and if you have been prohibited from something, then avoid it. Don't be like the people who have been reminded and then they refused and then they have been guided and they turn away. And this is indicated in the verse. وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ ذُكِّرَ بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِ فَأَعْرَضَ عَنْهَا وَنَسِيَ مَا قَدَّمَتْ يَدَاهُ. So don't be like the verse, Surah Al-Kahf, Ayah 57. And who is worse than the one who has been reminded by way of the signs of their Lord, فَأَعْرَضَ عَنْهَا, but they turned away, and then they forget that which they have done, right, in terms of mistakes and sins. وَهَذِّبْ مِنَ الْخِيَانَةِ بَاطِنَكَ وَرُدْ بِالصَّبْرِ نَفْسَكَ الَّتِي بَيْنَ جَوَانِحِكَ وَإِيَّاكَ وَالْكِبَرَ فَاحْذَرْهُ وَشَمِّرْ وَمَتَى رَأَيْتَ فِي النَّاسِ شَرًّا مِنْكَ فَأَنْتَ مُتَكَبِّرْ ولا تكن كقوم تكبروا على من سواهم ونأوا عن سيدهم وركبوا ما عنه نهاهم وإليهم الإشارة بقول تعالى أليس في جهنم مثوى للمتكبرين. So now he's talking about al-kibr, right, or arrogance. So he says هذب من الخيانة باطنك. So try to remove and isolate within yourself the khiyana, right, which literally means the treasonous nature, right, or the nature of betrayal within your batin, within you, right? Don't betray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't betray all of the beautiful things that He's given you. He's given you life, He's given you Islam, He's given for most of us relatively easy life in terms we don't have to worry about where we're going to spend the night and what we're going to eat the next day and things like that. So this is a great, 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 great blessing. So be thankful for it and do not betray the blessing by using it in a manner other than what was intended for that blessing when Allah gave it to you. And be patient and find patience within yourself and be very careful. Iyaka, this is Arabic tabir, iyaka, and avoid it completely. Al-kibr, arrogance. Avoid it. Washammir, right? Roll up your sleeves, get to work. And whenever you see people or you think you see people who are worse than you, then know anta mutakabbir. Then know that you are mutakabbir. Then know that you are arrogant. And he's going to explain this later in the same section, but he's going to say, how can me thinking people are worse than me is a sign of arrogance? Well, you put yourself up and you put them down based upon what you think or what you perceive of shar, of evil within them. Right, and in actuality, you don't know what's in them. You don't know what's in here. You can only see the outward act. So those outward acts, in terms of what they mean to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the particular time, don't actually carry that much weight in terms of where this person is going to be in his maqam with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, they could have made a little slip. They made a mistake. The only thing is that their mistake got popularized and went viral on Instagram and a million people saw it, and so just because a million people saw it doesn't make the mistake any bigger than what it was, but it just has now spread all over the place, and so then it seems like it's big because a million people are talking about it and a million people have seen it, where that mistake where you did by yourself and nobody saw it could be a bigger mistake than that person made, but there wasn't someone there with a camera who then put it on their Instagram. And so you managed to get away with it, as it were. You didn't really get away with it, Because in the scale of things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لا يخفى عليه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing is going to get by him, neither in the earth or في السماء, or in the heavens. So everything is known, everything is seen, everything will be present in the day of reckoning as if it just happened. So none of that goes away. So who are we to say, I am better than that person, or that person is worse than me, based upon something that I think they did, or I perceive within them that, one, they could have made tawbah from, they could have repented from, or maybe they didn't even repent, but Allah excused them. غفر الله لهم أو عفى عنهم وما أدرك. Maybe Allah pardoned them. Maybe Allah already forgave them right after they did it, because if they have some maqam with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How would you know? How would you know, which of those two things, if any? So the safer thing is not to see anyone better than you. And they say, Ahl al-Tasawwuf, that you didn't go anywhere in Tasawwuf until you start seeing everybody is better than you are. As long as you think you're better than anyone else, they said, even as long as you think you're better than the dog that is running around as a stray outside, if you think you're better than that animal somehow in your maqam with God, then you haven't really tasted ma'ani tasawwuf. You haven't really tasted the true meanings of tazkiyah and spiritual purification. And let us not forget that the kibr is what caused Iblis to be who he is. He was tested, and then when he was tested, his true nature came out, his arrogance. And that's what caused him to be in the position that he is in now. So he said, don't be like the people, تَكَبَّرَ عَلَى سِوَاهِمْ عَلَى مَنْ سِوَاهُمْ. They were arrogant with other people. وَنَأَوْ عَنْ سَيِّدِهِمْ. And they turned away from their master, their Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they did that which they were prohibited from doing. And this is mentioned in the verse. And Surah Az-Zumar also. And Surah Az-Zumar twice, Ayah 32 and Ayah 68. أَلَيْسَ فِي جَهَنَّمَ مَثْوًا لِلْمُتَكَبِّرِينَ. Is there not a home or a place in Jahannam for the mutakabbirin? Right? For the ones who were mutakabbir, who were arrogant. And in Arabic, I should say, the mutakabbir generally means that you showed your arrogance to others. So, تَكَبَّرْتُ عَلَيْ. So there's like a harf jar. So, تَتَعَدَّ بِالْحَرْفِ jar. So in other words, it means you extended that internal arrogance to somebody. تَكَبَّرْتُ عَلَيْ. I made him feel small because I feel that I'm better than they are.
وَقْصُرْ يَا أَخِي أَمَلَكْ فَإِنَّكَ لَا تَدْرِي مَتَى أَجُلُكْ وَلَا تَكُنْ كَقَوْمٍ تَتَمَتَّعُوا بِشَهَوَاتِهِمْ وَاغْتَرُّوا بِطُولِ أَمَالِهِمْ وَلَمْ يَشْعُرُوا بِفَسَادِ أَدْيَانِهِمْ حَتَّى جَازَ عَلَيْهُمْ وَقْتُ وَفَاتِهِمْ وَإِلَيْهِمُ الْإِشَارَةُ بِقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى ذَرْهُمْ يَأْكُلُوا وَيَتَمَتَّعُوا وَيُلْهِهُمُ الْأَمَلُ فَسَوْفَ يَعْلَمُونَ.
So also don't be like the people who had طول الأمل. That's why he says, وَقْصُرْ يَا أَخِي أَمَلَكْ. This is another word we should put in our glossary, الأمل. And if you look in the English dictionary, it'll say أمل means hope. And if you look up the word raja, it'll also say hope. But in our qamus, or our sort of spiritual tazkiyah purification dictionary, there are two very, very different things, two different times of hope. So al-amal here, when he says waqsur ya akhi amalak, shorten your, I would translate as false hopes. So what does it mean, false hopes? It means that I still have time. So I say, هذا بعد أمل, they say هذا بعد أمل بعيد. That's after a long time. Like how some people today, when are you going to make Hajj, يا أخي? Yeah, لسه في بعد أمل بعيد. I'm only 45 or 35. I can go when I'm 65, and then I clean up for all the sins I did in the 65 years rather than cleaning up right now. I still have a lot of time left. So the أمل means there's always another day where I can rectify myself. I can rectify my situation. I can rectify my relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that another day is not necessarily forthcoming. That other day, you could die in the moment. You can die tomorrow. You can die at any time. So when he says waqsur amalak, means shorten those false hopes. Don't have an expectation necessarily that you're going even to live to the next day. That's why they say Sufi ibn waqtihi, right? The true Sufi is the son or daughter of the time that they live in, because the past is gone and you can't return the past and the future is not promised. So what really is important is al-hadir, right? That which you are living right now, the present. So live in the present moment and make the best of the present moment.
فَإِنَّكَ لَا تَدْرِي مَتَى أَجَلُكَ, right? He says you don't know when your ajal. Your ajal means when your time is going to be up, your expiry date. And don't be like the people, تَمَتَّعُوا بِشَهَوَاتِهِمْ, right? They took pleasure in just fulfilling their desires, and they were deluded into thinking they had a lot of time left, and they did not feel the fasad of their deen. They did not feel the corruption of their practice of the religion. حَتَّى جَازَ عَلِيهُمْ وَقْتُ وَفَاتِهِمْ, until the death came upon them, the time that they were supposed to go, and indicated in the verse, ذَرْهُمْ يَأْكُلُوا وَيَتَمَتَّعُوا وَيُلْهِهُمُ الْأَمَلُ فَسَوْفَ يَعْلَمُونَ. So looks like an address to the Prophet ﷺ, Surah Al-Hijr, Ayah 3. ذَرْهُمْ, leave them to eat and to take pleasure, وَيُلْهِهُمُ الْأَمَلُ, and they're deluded by their false hopes, فَسَوْفَ يَعْلَمُونَ, because eventually they're going to know what's up, as it were. وَزِنْ بِمِيزَانِ الْعَقْلِ نُطْقَكَ وَعَمَلَكَ فَإِنَّ نُطْقَكَ وَصَمْتَكَ وَتِلَاوَتَكَ وَحَرَكَاتِكَ وَسُكُونَكَ عَمَلٌ مِنْ أَعْمَالِكَ مُحْصَاتٍ عَلَيْكَ إِمَّا لَكَ وَإِمَّا عَلَيْكَ وَإِلَيْهِ الْإِشَارَةُ بِقَوْلِ تَعَالَى وَمَا تَكُونُ فِي شَأْنٍ وَمَا تَتْلُو مِنْهُ مِنْ قُرْآنٍ وَلَا تَعْمَلُونَ مِنْ عَمَلٍ إِلَّا كُنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ شُهُودًا إِذْ تُفِيدُونَ فِيهِ. So this verse from Surah Yunus, Ayah 61, وَمَا تَكُونُ فِي شَأْنٍ, right? There's nothing of any matter that's going to be. وَمَا تَتْلُو مِنْهُ مِنْ قُرْآنٍ, and that which you recite from the Qur'an, وَلَا تَعْمَلُونَ مِنْ عَمَلٍ, or anything that you do of any act, إِلَّا كُنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ شُهُودًا إِذْ تُفِيدُونَ فِيهِ, except we were a witness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a witness upon that. إِذْ تُفِيدُونَ فِي, as you engage in it or as you do it. So he said, don't be like the people who like these people who are not aware of that. So be aware that everything that you say and everything that you don't say, and that which you read from the Quran, and that where you move and how you are silent, these are all considered to be أعمال. So your silence, if there is an intention behind it, in a certain situation, هَذَا عَمَلٌ مِنْ أَعْمَالِكَ, right? This is a deed. So it could be for you, it could be against you. So your silence, for example, when vocalizing is the adab, will be against you, right? So if someone slanders somebody or in your presence, or someone says an untruth, or someone is misguiding others, and you have something that you can say and you can do something about it, then don't be al-shaytan al-akhras, right? Or if you have something of knowledge and that you, it's incumbent upon you to share that in that particular time, then you share it. Then here in this sense, silence is not the praiseworthy thing to do. Silence is the blameworthy thing to do. فَيَكُونُ عَلَيْكَ, then will count against you. So that's amal, it's a deed. You may say, well, I didn't do anything, I just remained silent. No, but you chose to remain silent. And sometimes choosing silence is praiseworthy. It will count for you. So if someone is kind of up in your face and they're trying to instigate, to provoke you and instigate something with you, and pushing you to say something out of line and pushing you to get angry and be in the state of jahiliyyah like them, but you choose silence, right? And you let the angels answer on your behalf, as mentioned in some of the verses of the Quran. Then silence here is praiseworthy, because you chose to be silent, right? Silence is a mawqif, right? It's you can choose it as not as a reaction, but as countering something. You're countering some evil, And you choose to counter the evil by being silent. Just like in some situations, you will counter evil by not being silent, by having to say something. So, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحُبُّ الْقَوْلَ بِالْجُهْرِ قَوْلَ بِالْسُوءِ إِلَّا مَنْ ظُلِمْ. That's the verse I was talking about. Allah doesn't like الْجَهْرِ بِالسُوءِ إِلَّا مَنْ ظُلِمْ. Allah doesn't like people يَجْهَرُونَ بِالسُوءِ, to speak plainly and verbalize evil things, but the one who has been oppressed, or the one who has been found injustice against them, then they may vocalize to repel that injustice. So, وَلَا تَعْتَقِدْ فِي صَدْرِكَ وَلَا يُكْتَبْ عَلَيْكَ فِي صَحِيفَتِكَ فِي لَيْلِكَ وَنَهَارِكَ إِلَّا مَا يَسُرُّكَ غَدًا وَتَفْرَحُ لَهُ أَبَدًا فَإِنَّ كُلَّ مَا عَمِلْتَ وَاعْتَقَدْتَ فِي دُنْيَاكَ ينبئك به غدا مولاك. وإليه الإشارة بقول تعالى إذا بعثر في القبور وحصل في الصدور إن ربهم بهم يومئذ لخبير. سورة العاديات. So he said also, do not believe anything in your heart, and make sure that nothing is written in your scale of deeds, your book of deeds, either in your night or in your day, except that which will make you happy tomorrow. Tomorrow when? Tomorrow in the day of reckoning. So remember, we went over the first section. This reckoning, this hisab, is not some far off, you know, mythical thing that I'm not really thinking about. It should be something we wake up in the morning, we're thinking about it, and we go to sleep, we think about it. When we go to sleep at night and we review what we did during the day, how is this day going to count for me? Here, July 8th, 2020, what did I do during that day and night? Where will it fall on my scale of deeds? And when you wake up in the morning, you say, oh, here's a new scale of deeds that's going to come for me today. You know, how will it turn out? What will Allah reveal to me? How will I take it upon myself? وَهَكَذَا. So it should be something that is part of like your DNA, your spiritual DNA. So nothing that happens in your night, nothing that happens in your day, except inshallah that will make you happy tomorrow. وَتَفْرَحُ لَهُ أَبَدًا. And that will make you perpetually in a state of felicity. فَإِنَّ كُلَّ مَا عَمِلْتَ وَاعْتَقَدْتَ فِي دُنْيَاكَ يُنْبِئُكَ بِهِ غَدًا مَوْلَاكَ. Everything that you did and everything that you believed in your dunya, tomorrow your mawla, your master, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is going to show it to you. Be certain of that. He may choose to do it in a humiliating way, so like everybody sees it, or he may choose to do it in a very gentle and latif way, that it's only between you and him. And he may just pardon you for all of it and not even ask you about it. All of those possibilities are there. And we know that from what we learned about the hisab, about the reckoning. And we talked about the 70,000, يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ مِنْ غَيْرِ حِسَابٍ وَلَا عِتَابٍ. The 70,000 who go into paradise or more without any hisab, without any reckoning, without any blame. May Allah make us amongst those. وَمَا ذَلَكَ عَلَى رَبَكَ بِعَزِيزٍ. And this is indicated in the verse, إِذَا بُعْثِرَ مَا فِي الْقُبُورِ وَحُصِّلَ مَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. So if the ones who are resurrected were in the graves, and that which is حُصِّلَ مَا فِي الصُّدُورِ, right? And that which was reaped, right, and sowed in the hearts, then it will be حُصِّل, محصول. It will come out, everything will be known. إِنَّ رَبَّهُمْ بِهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَخَبِيرٍ. That day, their Lord is well aware and well acquainted of all things that are happening, all things that are going on. Let me just read this last section. It's kind of related. We'll go over it quickly. وَاحْذَرْ مَقَامَكَ غَدًا بَيْنَ يَدَيِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ فَإِنَّهُ يَبْدُو لَكَ عَمَلُكَ وَيُكَلِّمُكَ فَتَرَاهُ وَتَسْمَعُ كَلَامَهُ بِلَا حِجَابٍ وَلَا تَرْجُمَانٍ فِي عَرْصَةِ يَرْشَحُ فِيهَا عَرَقُ جَبِينِكَ وَيُخْشَى فِيهَا عَلَى نَفْسِكَ مِنَ الْمَهَالِكِ حَنِينُكَ فَيُعْرِفُكَ نِعْمَتَهُ عَلَيْكَ فَتَعْرِفُهَا وَيُسْمِعُكَ ذُنُوبَكَ فَتَسْمَعُهَا فيقشعر من أجل ذلك جلدك ويتغير لونك ويطير فهمك وترعد فرائسك ولست تدري لأي منزل يكون إليه انصرافك من بين يديه ولا مأوى يقر فيه قرارك وإليه الإشارة بقول تعالى يوم تجد كل نفس ما عملت من خير محضرا وَمَا عَمِلَتْ مِنْ سُوءٍ تَوَدُّ لَوْ أَنَّ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَهُ أَمَدًا بَعِيدًا وَيُحَذِّرُكُمُ اللَّهُ نَفْسَهُ. So Surah Ali Imran, Ayah 30. So he's just talking about, you don't know what's going to happen with you in this Arasat Yawm Al-Qiyamah, when you'll be standing before your Lord. He will speak to you and you will speak to him, nothing in between, in a manner commensurate with his majesty, as we've said, and you'll be sweating from your foreheads and you have this state of fear, and all you think all that what you know is no longer known, and this state of terror and torment, this is coming to everybody. And he indicates this in the verse in Surah Ali Imran, يَوْمَ تَجِدُ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا عَمِلَتْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ مُحْضَرًا, the day that every soul from that which it has done from good, it will find it muhdara, right? It will find it present. It's there, like it just happened. Not it happened years and years ago. Like it just happened. It's muhdara. وَمَا عَمِلَتْ مِنْ سُوءٍ, and that which it did from evil, تَوَدُّ لَوْ أَنَّ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَهُ أَمَدًا بَعِيدًا, and that which happened from su, from evil, it would wish that there would be this large distance between yourself and those evil deeds. وَيُحَذِّرُكُمْ اللَّهُ نَفْسَهُ, right? And Allah يُحَذِّرُكُمْ مِنْ نَفْسِهِ, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is warning you from this power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَكُفَّ نَفْسَكَ مِنَ الظُّلْمِ فَإِنَّ الْمَظَالِمَ تُرَدُّ عَنْ عَلَى أَهْلِهَا فَتُطْلَبْ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِنْ خَرْدَلٍ مِنَ التَّبِعَاتِ بَيْنَ الْخَلْقِ فَلَا تُوجَدْ فَحِينَئِذٍ يَسْتَقِرُّ أَهْلِ الدَّارَيْنِ فِي مَنَازِلِهِمْ وَإِلَيْهِ الْإِشَارَةُ بِسِرِّ قَوْلِ تَعَالَى وَإِنْ كَانَ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِنْ خَرْدَلٍ أَتَيْنَا بِهَا وَكَفَى بِنَا حَاسِبِينَ. So, كُفْ نَفْسَكَ عَنِ الظُّلْمِ, make sure that you don't oppress anybody, that you do wrong to anyone. فَإِنَّ الْمَظَالِمَ تُرَدْ عَلَى أَهْلِهَا. This is certain. The mazalim, in other words, from dhulm, those things that you did, that you wronged others, you hurt others, it could even be a word, right? It can even be something you said. And the Sahabi, when the Prophet ﷺ, you know, he said that what we say is a deed. It's from عَمَلْ مِنَ الْأَعْمَالِ. And then the Sahabi said, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ نَحْنُ مُؤَخِذُونَ عَلَى مَا نَقُولُ. He was surprised. Are we going to be taken to task about the things that we say? And then the Prophet ﷺ replied, وَهَلْ يَكُبُّ النَّاسُ عَلَىٰ مَنَاخِرِهِمْ أَوْ وُجُوهِهِمْ رِيَوَيْتَيْنِ إِلَّا حَصَائِدُ أَلْسِنَتِهِمْ, and are people dragged on their noses or on their faces except for that which their tongues have reaped? Of course you're going to be taken to task. What you say counts. And I would also say, and to remind myself and others, what you communicate, not just what you say with your tongue, what you communicate, what you spread on Facebook, what you spread on Instagram, the comments that you make, the things that you retweet, the things that you share, هذا كلام. That's all كلام means, communication. That means هذا عمل. All of that is a deed, right? So it can be for you and it could be against you. So think 1,000 times before you share that thing. Think 1,000 times before you think, well, I'm just enjoining the good and forbidding the bad. Think 1,000 times, is that really your intention? Is that really what's happening here? Think 1,000 times before you spread something about somebody, and then you have this whole litany of comments that come after that call for this person's la'an, that he should be cursed or she should be cursed or they should be executed, or that they are, you know, some sort of animal and they shouldn't be allowed to live. All this I just saw yesterday. So think 1,000 times before you share those things. هذا كلام وهذا عمل وسوف تحاسب على ذلك. You will be taken into account. I'm not telling you this. Allah is telling us this. Why? Because He says, وَإِنْ كَانَ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِنْ خَرْدَلٍ أَتَيْنَا بِهَا وَكَفَى بِنَا حَاسِبِينَ. Surah Al-Anbiya, Ayah 47. وَإِنْ كَانَ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ. You know what a mithqal habba is? It's like what the Arabs would think was the smallest thing, like a part of a seed. Min khardalin, from a mustard seed. Like the smallest possible thing in terms of a deed or something you said, atayna biha. It will come, we will bring it. Wa kafa bina hasibin. Right? And it's enough that we are going to be the hasib. Right? Sanu hasibuka ala thalik. This will all be taken into account. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala huwa al-hakam wal-adl, and there is no one who's going to be wronged by Allah's justice. Everyone will get exactly what Allah deems appropriate for them. He may deal with us by His mercy and pardon us, and He may deal with us by His justice and give us exactly what we are entitled and what we are deserved. And we hope for the former. We don't want to be dealt with by Allah's justice, because we have nothing to give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything, He's given everything to us. So all that we can do as fuqara, وَهُوَ الْغَنِي, as people who are in perpetual need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all that we can do is try to avail ourselves of His mercy. وَعَفُهُ أَكْبَرُ وَرَحْمَتُهُ أَكْبَرُ وَسَبَقَتْ رَحْمَتُهُ غَضَبُ. His afu is bigger than all of the sins that we could have done, and His mercy is bigger than all of that, and His mercy precedes His wrath. But nevertheless, we should at least show gratitude for someone, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has been so gracious and never lifts the opportunity for us to avail ourselves of His grace as long as He keeps us alive. And so we should take heed to that and keep it in mind and try to live every moment of our lives with this haqiqah and this haqq, this reality and this truth and these rights that are upon us, always to try to live up to the best of those, inshallah ta'ala. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa alayhi sahbihi ajma'in. So I'm going to stop here.